Blog Talk Radio
presents a Blog Radio Show.
Hello, hello, hello. We are back. Welcome to Applause Radio Show. I'm Joanne Barton, and tonight we have our rescheduled guest from the 23rd, I believe it was, Mr. Chris Impellitteri from the heavy metal band Impellitteri. So we had connectivity issues, so I'm hoping I've got my fingers crossed that we get connected tonight. So last night we had finally Christian Ganier joined us again from a rescheduled show as well. And we had a nice little conversation. So if you want to catch that, feel free to do so. Actor Christian Ganier from Stranger Things. Nice young man. Nice young man. He's going places. So, and tomorrow night, I can't wait. We've got our friend Marshall Thompson from the Shy Lights joining us at 9 p.m. So I can't wait for that. And then we're finally going to get a break. I guess I'll give myself a break for my birthday, right? So, yeah, we'll be back on Sunday, the 30th, with author and lyricist Rick Ryan. He's got a new book out. It is called Under Santa's Hat. It is a Christmas book, a children's Christmas book, and we've got three copies we're giving away, and they are so beautiful. They're gorgeous books. So we have three of them to give away. Feel free to call in and win that night at 646-478-0999. And then I'm going to have on the 31st at 10 p.m. Eastern, a monster music mashup. So a bunch of different music, no guests, just playing music, Halloween music. So if you're having a party or just want to hear some Halloween music, tune in. We'll have some fun, you know? So we're waiting on Christian. I will, I'm going to shoot him a text now that I got his number in my phone because of the incident that happened the other night. So I hope everybody had a great day. I took today off, and I was actually going to try and do some work, and it didn't work out. I think, Chris, you guys know I can't talk and speak and type at the same time, but anyway, what's today? Tuesday. So it's the start of the week, really. I mean, it's only one day after Monday, so it's just getting started. Long week ahead of us. I know for me, I've got a busy week. So hold on one second. See, you know I can't type and talk at the same time. You are rescheduled. Anyway, weather was a little crappy during the morning, but it cleared up. It actually got warm out. We were heading towards the doctor today, and the fog was so bad, you could barely see. But it was not chilly. It was just very humid, actually. It was actually very humid, I thought, you know. But, yeah, after we were done with the doctor, we came out. The sun was shining. The temperature was warm. And October is really, really a fickle month. You never know what you're going to get. You could get cold. You could get hot. I know when when my son was born, 27th, brought him home 2 days later, whatever it was, I don't really remember. And we were sweating. I mean, everybody was here to see the baby, and it was so hot. It was so hot. And then also when I bought my house, I looked at it. Did I move in October? Did I look at it in October? I'm not sure, but it was October, and the pool was open and everything, so it was gorgeous. But, yeah, so I'm just waiting on Chris to give us a call. So we did play two or three songs the 23rd when Chris was supposed to be on. And, you know, we're just hoping to play some more tonight. So I think he texted me back. Let's see what he says here. Let's see. Chris. Nope, somebody else. So, yeah, I don't know how the weather is by you, but for me, we're not complaining. Windows are open finally, and again, I should say, not finally. The gas and electric bill's gone down because I can't think of a day this year that I didn't have the air conditioning running. It was every day. I mean, you're talking central air, electricity, and obviously, you know, with two boys constantly playing video games and whatnot, and the pool running constantly. So the summer bills were high. But now that the pool is off, kids are still using the electricity, obviously, and so am I. And but no air conditioning. So the bill dropped down like $300. So thank God for that. So anyway, we're just waiting on Chris to give us a call. Maybe I'll play a song and give him a call off of my phone and see. You know what? Let me test my phone again. We did that last night or the night before. Pardon me. No, it was last night we were on. Let me see if I can get through. Let's see. Just in case. You never know. Oh, geez, Louise. I'm telling you. I sent a message out to the platform and... Let's see what it says.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please hold and you will be able to listen to the show.
See? What the hell is that? What is that about? Here we go. It just went through now. So I hung up. All right. So we are able to get through. So that's a good thing. So let me play a tune and I will give Chris a call. I hope he's okay. Oh, I meant to tell Christian that the other night that we were really worried about him. So all right, let's play one we didn't play. Here, this was a hard one, I think. Now, I listened to him the other day. I don't remember exactly. That's a long one. We can't do a long one. Let's do a short one in case we get him on the phone. Hang on. Oh, geez. We played that one. Oh, that's a good song. This is not Chris. This is Priest, a signal in the noise. Check this out while I give Chris a call. Hang on, folks. Bear with me. I believe we have the one and only Mr. Chris Impellitteri on the phone. Chris, is that you?
Joanne, it is me. I think we actually finally connected. Congratulations.
Yay! Success. Finally. All right, everybody. Great. With us, finally on the phone, is Chris Impellitteri. Chris, how are you, honey?
I'm doing well. We're hanging out in my car. We're driving.
Oh, where you headed?
We're actually going back to the house from the studio. I was in Beverly Hills, and now I'm heading back to a place outside of Malibu, California, for all you people on the East Coast.
Malibu's nice. Yes, nice. What were you working on in the studio today?
We've been working on our new record. So, you know, we've got lots of stuff going on. We got the re-release of our back catalog, which is a new anthology. But at the same time, we're also working on the new Impellitteri record, which is probably still another 3/4 of a year out. You know, until we're done with it released.
Nice. Now, Wake the Beast, the Impellitteri anthology, is the new release. It just came out September 30th. Why now? Why'd you do the anthology now?
So there are a couple reasons. The biggest is we got the legal rights back.
No.
You know, people don't realize, you know, when you sign these deals with major corporate, you know, like the conglomerates, right?
Yeah.
You know, at times we mistakenly give away our rights in various territories.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had to make certain once, you know, I mean, first of all, we had to make certain legally that we had attained the rights once again so we could actually release our own music, which is insane.
Right.
So, ridiculous. You know, once we had legal rights, that's when we kind of formulated a plan of how do we do this? What do we release, right? Which songs? And how do we market it, right? How do we bring it to the masses? So that's kind of why we're here today, right? I guess we accomplished the part of we got it. We got distribution. We got a label partner who we really love for the back catalog, you know, who really loves the band. And, you know, they're marketing it now, so which is the glorified way of saying we're finally bringing this music for the first time to many countries around the world that never had a chance to hear this.
Right. I'm going to touch on that in a second, but I did want to ask you, the new album you're working on, is that with Rob or is that with Graham?
It's with Rob Rock.
Have you guys ever done a song with the two of them singing together? I'm curious.
No, but I wouldn't be against it. I think that might be really quite interesting.
Cool. That'd be cool.
You know, I love both of them. You know, I mean, and look, when I listen to the Impellitteri records, you know, I hear how much they bring to the sound of the band, right?
Right?
How much they contribute. And they're so unique. They're unique personalities, you know, their voice, the characteristic of the way they sing, you know, tonally. It's just, they bring so much. And so, yeah, it would be really cool to have them both on a song.
Yeah, that'd be something really cool to have them both sing at the same time. You know, not a duet, but, you know, I guess a duet. Yeah, right? Would you call
it
a duet?
I think it'd be really cool to have a duet. Absolutely.
Yeah. But you got to tell me who's singing on each song because I don't know who's who on these songs.
Well, I can tell you, so for the people that are listening to this anthology, right, if you had a chance to check any of it out, the first two songs have both singers. So we opened the anthology with a song called Victim of the System. That's Rob Rock singing. And then we go into a song called Perfect Crime, that's Graham Bonnet. So immediately, and it's funny, I always laugh and say, look, if you don't like us by the third or fourth song of this anthology, you're not going to like us.
Right.
So I love that we have both those guys featured on the first two songs.
Yes, absolutely. Unbelievable. Well, last night we played, I played Antisocial Disease, which was great. And what was the other one we played? Ball and Chain, I liked a lot. Two very different contrasting songs. But both great. Both great. You know, you got your heavier stuff and then you've got your lighter stuff. So, you know, but...
That's interesting you did that. That's really fascinating because what people don't know. So, and that's those songs, I mean, with the exception of maybe Ball and Chain is not the total sound of Impellitteri, right? Like if you play
Victim
of the
all.
System...
Right.
Yeah, Victim of the System is much more of the sound of the band. You know, Ball and Chain, we want to do something very heavy, almost kind of like Ozzy meets Metallica, right?
Mm.
But also the really pop chorus, which I know sounds really odd, right? Almost like Def Leppard's playing the chorus, right? So we did that with Ball and Chain, but what people don't know is when we did Antisocial Disease, that was actually me singing the lead vocal line. We wanted to do a song that was very much like Metallica, right?
Mm.
Almost an homage to like Master of Puppets. And Graham actually sings all the big choruses, you know, so it was very unique. It was really a one-off song. So, you know, people hearing that for the first time, if that's what they're exposed to, that's really not what the band sounds like. But those songs are so much fun to do.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I picked a lot of heavy ones, too, though. I played The Young and the Ruthless as well, which is not as heavy, too. But I want to go into one that's
that
a little...
That's one of our favorites.
Yeah, me, too. I love them all. I love them.
Yeah,
I love them all. Let's see. Well, let's play... how about Rat Race? When did that one come out? And now, do you write all
that
the songs?
Well, so it's really important for especially the people that have never heard of the band. First of all, it is a band, even though, yes, it's named after my family last name, right, the surname, which, by the way, is probably the worst band name in the world. But either way, it's stuck for 30 years, so we can't change it now anyways.
Right, right.
But in all sincerity, I mean, it is a band. So the way we write music, it usually, it starts probably with me. You know, I'm writing the riffs and the basic structure of the song, and then I bring it to Rob Rock and James Pulley, our bass player, and then our drummer. And then they basically put in their contribution, right? So Rob writes all the lyrics, the vocal melodies, right? I write the bulk of the music, right? At least sonically of the way what you hear is pretty much constructed by me. But then the bass player, James, he comes in and he writes all his own bass parts, which affects the way the drummer plays and vice versa.
Right.
So
yeah.
It's really an equal contribution of four or five guys versus it's not a solo artist. Because I can't tell you how many years, over the years I've been compared to, I'm not going to name some of the other guitar players, but, you know, they're the traditional, you know, instrumental solo guys, of which, you know, I guess the way I play solos, I get thrown in with that group, but it's always been a band thing. So when we write together, you know, so.
Right.
Well,
right, once you get the bass going, the drummer feeds off of the bass, or vice versa. You know, the drummer will feed off the bass, and then you throw in the lead.
And I bring in the songs, and Rob brings in his lyrics and his vocal melodies. We go in and we rehearse it together, and we really work out the song. And when it starts to feel really good live, you know you've captured that magic. Now it's time to record it and capture that part of it, you know?
Right, right.
So... But that's it. And then the song Rat Race you were asking, we actually did that. I think that was released in 1996.
Wow.
Right? So it was a long time ago. We actually did that with a really well-known producer at the time, a guy named Michael Wagner. And Michael, he had produced Master of Puppets by Metallica. And it's funny, when we did that record, it was off a record called Screaming Symphony. I'll never forget it because Michael had just finished Ozzy Osbourne's No More Tears. And then we loaded in. And we did Screaming Symphony with him. And Rat Race, especially in Europe and Japan, has become like this staple song we have to play live. It's just like this massive fan favorite. It's crazy when you see, like, in some of the places we play overseas, sometimes we're playing up to 30,000 people. And it's just insane to see the response when we kick into that opening riff, you know, and then when you do the chorus, all these kids are singing every line. It's so amazing.
You know, I got to ask you, tell me if you can answer this. I don't know if anybody can. Why does Japan and Europe love the heavy metal so much more? I mean, we love it here. It's just not mainstream anymore. So why do you think it's lived so prevalently in Europe and Japan and whatnot?
I've thought about that a lot.
What's your answer?
I can tell you theoretically, right? That's not proven, but I have a theory. In Japan, especially, well, I'll start with Japan versus Europe. Japan is a very well-educated society.
Mm.
So when Impellitteri kind of blew up over there, I couldn't quite figure out why, because I thought, okay, I get it. We're pretty accomplished musicians, but there are plenty of bands that are
right.
And so I thought, well, what is it? And so I think we struck a chord or something touched them emotionally. I get it. You know, even though our music is a lot of times, at times I think, God, are we a thrash metal band with, you know, vocals that are really poppy, like Queen, you know, 1-3-5 harmonies, you know,
yeah,
technical shredding, which is really classically influenced, or jazz. But at the same time, I guess where I'm going with this is I think they appreciate the discipline it takes for us to be able to, first of all, play and sing like the way we do, right? It's not easy.
Right.
It takes discipline. And I think the Japanese culture embraced that. They really appreciate it. And I'll tell you a funny story. When we were doing, I don't know if it was, we had a record called Answer to the Master, which was one of our big releases in Japan, followed by Screaming Symphony. When we did the tour, I'll never forget, we were playing in Japan. We were doing all the major cities, and our first shows were 3 nights sold out in Tokyo. And I'll never forget it. Our road manager, I think also had been road manager of Def Leppard, went over with us, and we got there like 2 days early for press. And we were going to go out the night we arrived, and we were going to go see this band Bush, who at the time in the 90s were massive in America and Europe, right? I think the guy eventually married Gwen from, what's her name, No Doubt.
Oh, Gwen Stefani,
so,
yeah.
I remember we were getting ready to go to the Bush show. Remember, these guys are massive on MTV, just huge. And our road manager says, hey, show got canceled. We're not going to go. And we're like, well, what happened? And remember, Bush are playing the exact same venue we're going to play in 2 nights that we sold out 3 nights in a row. And evidently they said Bush had to cancel, what I'm told at least, because they couldn't sell any tickets.
Oh, wow.
And we were just scratching our head going, man, we come to America, and with the exception of our cult following, the masses don't have a clue of who we are, right? Yet Bush in America were massive, right? I mean, all over MTV. Same thing in Europe, really popular. And yet we're selling far more than they can sell in Japan. And it was the same kind of self-realization of why. And the only thing we could think of is, well, Bush is a really cool band. I like their music a lot. But technically, you know, they're nowhere near as advanced as us as musicians. And I don't mean that to be insulting, because I really love Bush.
I get it. Yeah,
It was a guess. You know, and someone kind of told me that as well in Japan of, that's probably why we were so embraced. And a lot of bands in the 90s, like when we came out of the late part of the 80s, right, we were played on MTV. You know, we started to get a lot of attraction, right? A lot of people were really curious about us, whether they loved us or hate us. They certainly knew about us. But when we were on MTV, metal was really coming to a close. And forgive me, I know this is one really long, drawn-on explanation, but
no.
You know, when metal was ending, the one thing we were really lucky is we were never one of those hair bands, you know? We were much closer to the thrash metal guys than the hair bands.
But
that whole thing was coming to an end in America, and so all of a sudden all these bands were going after Japan, you know? And it was crazy because, you know, we were now competing with, like, Metallica and Pantera and all these bands for the covers of the magazines. And we were doing quite well, holding our own, getting those covers. But, you know, a lot of the bands that were popular in America in the 90s and even 2000s, they just couldn't get traction in Japan. You know, they didn't play guitar solos. The singers, you know, they didn't have much range. They certainly couldn't sing like Rob Rock or Graham Bonnet or Bruce Dickinson, a Maiden, whatever. So it really just didn't seem to interest the Japanese. You know, and so we ended up exploding, having an amazing career, And a lot of these other bands, they hit a brick wall.
Well, you tapped into it. You definitely did. So now I got to say before I play it, it's got to be cool knowing that arena full of thousands of people don't speak a word of English, but yet they're singing your song.
Yeah, it's really humbling.
You know, how cool is that?
Brings tears to your eyes, man. It's
absolutely
amazing. It's a great feeling.
Yeah, well, let's see what's turning Japan on. This is Rat Race, guys, by Impellitteri. Check it out. Hang on, Chris, okay? Listen in with us, all right? Don't leave me, okay? Rat Race by Impellitteri on the new album, Wake the Beast, the Impellitteri Anthology. Check it out, folks.
Represent her, and I don't even know my name.
Wow. My hand is tired just thinking of that playing. How do you keep your fingers? Oh my God, I can just see them going nuts. And Rat Race, Jesus, it's always been a rat race. That song will live forever, right?
It speaks real world, doesn't it? The lyrics.
Oh man, absolutely. And then when he hit that one, I can't even do it. I'm not even going to attempt it. The last life when he said, oh man, I can't go that high anymore. But oh my God.
Rob Rock has incredible. You know what's funny about Rob Rock? He can do that consistently every night. I've seen him do it having the flu and he still hits those high notes. It's amazing.
Man. It is. It was amazing. You have another song that I thought might be apropos for now, too, Propaganda Mind. You ever think of, spreading
that one around
a little more?
Yeah, that was from a different record. That was actually a special record. We were actually doing almost homage to a lot of bands that were more current that we really liked a lot. It was almost not even going to be called an Impellitteri record, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, that was with a guy named Curtis Skelton. We found Curtis. He had done, I forgot the band he was in, but we saw him on the Ozfest, right? Really unique band. And it was a time where, you know, Rob and Graham weren't in the band. So it was like a side project that turned into a little bit more than it should have been. But it was fun.
Right. Well, I think, Propaganda Mind. I mean, Jesus, we're full of that right now, too.
True that.
You know? But I what I liked about Propaganda Mind too was the intro. The intro was totally something I didn't expect from you. But like you said, it wasn't really meant to be an Impellitteri tune. So you know.
Yeah, I mean it's definitely out of our wheelhouse of our sound. You know, I mean you know people do ask me like if you have to sum up what we sound like. I mean obviously we start the anthology with Victim of the System because you get everything. You get our how we write music, you get our performance as musicians, but you also get our production that we're pretty well known for, you know, which
right.
is pretty powerful, a lot of energy. Even a song like that you just played, Rat Race, believe it or not, is really not as powerful as like the majority of our music, sonically speaking. It
right.
was really done live, where we didn't want to add like a lot of big samples on the bass drums. We don't want to have too much depth. We really just wanted to capture the band as live as possible and make it sound as organic as possible, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the majority of our music, sometimes I get fearful thinking, man, is it overproduced because it gets too big, you know?
Right. Now, On and On, did you do that one with Curtis as well? Because that one's a little on the different side, too.
Rob Rock. No, that's Rob Rock and I. And we did that because, you know, I mean, obviously we're such a high-energy metal band. At a certain point, I kind of feel like, man, we're playing so many notes and he's screaming and, you know, it's like it's information overload for the brain. So it's almost like, how do we nonchalantly give you some Tylenol? And our way was giving you a song like On and On, where it's just him and I playing acoustic, you know, I mean, it's just, and we love that song. It's so much fun.
Yeah, definitely. Well, let's give that one a quick spin. Do you mind?
Absolutely. Love it.
Cool. This is On and On by Impellitteri on, of course, the new album, Wake the Beast, the Impellitteri anthology. Check this one out. It's totally different from what we just heard. But like he said, Victim of the System is totally different from what we just heard, too. So check it out.
It goes on and on all through the day. On and on, my love will remain. Don't you know it's never too late? Turn the hand of fate. There you were, burned by love. Left a bitter taste, a heart of gold. Now you're strong, and you start walking, leaving me all alone. I don't care what the neighbors thinking. I don't care what do they know. All I need is to feel your love.
voice. I didn't think you had it in you to do one of so mellow, you know, compared to everything else, you know. Very pretty, very pretty. Yeah. I love it. I love it. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, when we do songs like that on records, it's remarkable. You know, your audience goes from 100% male to basically 50-50.
Right.
It's
like that's one of your okay, we need to slow down moments when we're playing. This is my break time, right?
Exactly.
This is to break it down. But yeah, I really wanted to play where is it? Warrior. You like that one, I'm sure.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. That one struck a chord, especially in places like Japan. That's one of those mm-hmm. anthem songs that they make us play. We have to play it every time we play there.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked it. That's why I wanted everybody to hear this one, too. Well, this is Warrior. What album was this one off of, Chris?
It's a record called Answer to the Master.
Very cool. Very cool. This is Warrior, guys. Check it out.
Yeah.
nice. I have to say, I think I'm a little partial to Rob. It seems like I picked all the songs that Rob is singing.
I noticed that.
Yeah. But now that I'm listening to them with you, I think what I played last night may have been Graham.
Well, like I said, if you played Antisocial Disease, that's only Graham in the chorus.
Yeah,
right?
I knew. In the chorus, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I can tell the difference in the voices now. I mean, that was, the 23rd? I don't remember what I did 10 minutes ago, but, you know. But I definitely can hear. I can definitely decipher Rob's voice in these songs. But so now you just said you came from the studio. So what's up with touring? Are you going to tour for this new release or no?
The new record will be, yes. I mean, so right now we're probably going to release the new record in middle of 2023 or
nice.
Close to the summertime. And then we're going to go out, we're going to tour, and we'll probably do all the big festivals in Europe, at least everyone that will have us. Probably going to do all of Japan and maybe Korea and those places. And then we're going to attempt to try to do a full tour in the U.S. But the U.S., it's much more fickle. It's much more difficult. Because overseas, we're able to have a really large production, right?
Mm-hmm.
And promoters in America are terrified of us, right? They're certainly not going to put us in major arenas because, including us, we don't know, could we sell them? Or like, instead of 10,000 or 20,000 people coming, 300 people show up, right?
That's horrible.
They're really not sure what kind of risk to take on us, right?
Right.
And I'm just being honest. I mean, that's the problem we have with America. How do we do this? How do we bring Impellitteri to the United States and do the same show we do overseas?
Right.
Because we're not a club band. We can't, it's just we don't acclimate to that environment. It's not that we couldn't do it. I'm sure we could. So we'll probably figure it out. I hope we at least can do at least theaters,
Yeah. Well, and what sucks? It just drives me crazy that, the music industry is cyclical with what they play, and we've never fully gone back to hard rock or heavy metal on rotation on mainstream radio. We haven't changed back yet, so I don't know when that's going to happen, and I really wish it would.
It's interesting because if you realistically look at who controls the industry –
oh,
right.
I know.
I mean, who are the big, the people that control radio, the conglomerates, right? A lot of these people are your typical yuppie type people, great Ivy League education or whatever. They're probably listening to Bruce Springsteen, not Iron Maiden, So they don't really embrace the kind of music that we do.
Right.
They're much more cynical. And, if you kind of look at the infrastructure, the support mechanism, right? When I was a kid in the 80s, you had all these amazing rock magazines, right?
Oh, they were great.
Radio that would play all this stuff. I mean, there was this infrastructure that could help you promote this type of music. Today, it doesn't exist. I mean, there are websites, but the reality is most of that's gone.
Right.
And, everything's controlled by Live Nation or whatever. And, they're looking for fast numbers, right? So, it's all about how many social media – and, we're not a social media band. We never have been. I know we need to embrace it more, but we don't. And so, they're looking for how many hits do you have and all of this stuff. And look, let's be honest. I mean, a lot of times it's, these 14-year-olds that put up something that goes viral and all of a sudden they're the next big thing.
I know. It's crazy.
Yeah. And it's like, and the music, a lot of it is prefabricated. It's all computer generated. It's not real. I mean, forgive me. I don't mean to be cynical about it, but.
Nope, but you're
true,
telling the truth.
Yeah, but there are still valid bands in the U.S. that can still certainly fill pretty decent-sized venues. You've got Slipknot, who I really like a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Avenged Sevenfold. I dig them. You've got Five Finger Death Punch. All these bands can play in front of pretty large crowds, and they're embraced by the U.S. audiences and the industry,
Yeah.
So... So it does exist. The question is, and of course you have your Metallicas who are so institutional, they don't need radio. They don't really need an industry. They've got a built-in following now.
Exactly. Your Zeppelins, your Stones, all those two, all the, but they're fading away though, everything's fading away.
Well, to be honest, a lot of those bands are dying out. I mean, how much longer? I mean, if you look at least when I was a little kid, there were bands like Kiss and Aerosmith and Queen, but all these bands are coming to an end. They're getting, look, I mean, let's not kid ourselves. They're up there in years, and hopefully they have many years to go. But what they do is not easy, especially for the
right.
guys that are screaming like Rob, you know,
oh,
that are
yeah.
20 years older. I mean, that's got to be hard.
Yeah. I don't know the last time I've seen one, but are they still doing the Ozfests or any metal fest like they used to do?
I don't think so.
Hmm. Yeah, because I don't recall when the last one was, to be quite honest. It's been a while, I'm
yeah.
sure. I mean, I'm,
yeah. I do wonder if Ozzy is even going to tour again. You know,
yeah.
I love Oz, but, you know, again, he's also getting up there in years.
Yeah, yeah. I think he just had surgery recently or something, some kind of health issue as well, you know. So, oh, yeah, we're fading away. Oh, God, right? It's crazy.
Well,
it's
look,
crazy.
And by the way, I mean, Bonnie, I know one benefit we get as a guitar player, we can probably do this into our 90s, but, you know, you got guys when they're screaming. I mean, look how Ozzy sang, right, on the
yep.
early Sabbath records or even his mm-hmm. first two solo records. Some of that stuff is really, really difficult. It's the reason, probably the reason why he tunes down so much when he plays live. You know,
right.
I mean, to do that for 2.5 hours, man, that's brutal on your voice.
Well, you know, it's funny. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, go on.
No, I was going to say, it's funny. I always say, when you're going to start out in this industry, make sure you pick a voice that's going to have longevity, because you're going to have to sing that way the rest of your life, you know? So, like, where'd I go? I went to a concert, I reviewed Journey. And, you know, they have the replacement singer. I forgot his name off the top of my head. Filipino guy. Very good.
Yep.
But I noticed that he's hurting himself. And I don't think Steve Perry could even do it today to sound like he used
you know,
to. You know?
I don't know if I said that. I don't know if I told you earlier, but when we played Sweden, I may have told you that whole story. We played the Sweden Rock Festival, and it was Impelitarian after we went off, Journey came on. And it was with Arnell, and Arnell was amazing. I mean, I closed my eyes.
That's
for a second,
his name,
like,
Arnell.
God.
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, he sounded exactly like Steve, but. Remember,
right.
You're absolutely right. What Steve
yeah,
did
and
30
I said,
40 years
I,
ago, I don't know what Steve could do today.
No, and I said, this poor guy, he came in, dream of a lifetime. I mean, my God, he's taken the place of Steve. I mean, you never replace Steve Perry, but, you know, he had a great voice himself, Arnell, and he was struggling. I mean, I thought he was having a hard time, to be quite honest, to do that every night. You know, it's not easy to sing that way, you know, but I felt bad for the guy. I don't give him much time with him, to be quite honest. I don't know. That's just my opinion. But, you know, we all have one of those. And, you know, we have another thing, too. Who cares, right? But
yeah.
I just noticed
but look,
that.
But there are, you know, there are singers that are just, they've got it. They have this amazing genetic structure. I mean, I think I look at, like, Bruce Dickinson. Bruce is still hitting those high notes, still doing 2 hours, and he sounds amazing. And as far as they know, they haven't retuned their instruments. So he's just clearly got it. You know, a great example would be like, now this is not metal, you know, but I think about, remember that band Air Supply? Like,
yeah,
I think they were out in the late 70s or early
80s. And Russell with his high voice.
Yeah. That's that probably do it till he's dead and still do it night after night, because he just has that, I don't know if it's genetics or whatever, it's just that, you know, that gift, right?
Right.
Where it just, he doesn't back himself into a corner and he can just do it. Versus, you know, I hear other amazing singers. Like, I love Whitesnake and Coverdale, but it's clear that David, I think, I imagine he must struggle hitting those notes he was hitting in the early 80s.
Oh, a lot of people, yeah. I didn't mean to pinpoint Arnell, but, you know, it kind of broke my heart to watch this guy have a dream come true, and his voice is probably getting ruined, you know, so... It is what it is, right? I mean, enjoy the moment while you got it. So,
you know what? I there's a band I really love out of Europe. Their name is Helloween, and it's remarkable what they're doing. So they've had two singers, kind of like Impelitary, and they eventually did a thing a couple of years ago where they united, and now both singers. So they're recording records with both singers and playing live with both of them. Sometimes they're doing duets. Other times they're doing individual tracks, and it's just brilliant.
That'd be cool.
And
yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Amazing.
Like, that's what I was thinking for you guys. That would be really cool.
Yeah.
With Graham
I mean,
and Rob,
that's
you know,
the future for a lot of these bands. have two lead singers. So when one guy's burning out, the other guy jumps in, takes over, the other guy rests up, and now he's back on.
Right, right. Hey, you never know, right? Hey, you could go all night in that case, you know? The show will never end. The show will never end.
Now it's our drummer will drop.
Oh, God. I know, right? Oh, my God. But now, what is it? Garden of Eden? Any reason behind that song? And what album was it from? I mean, how long ago?
Garden Eden was from the Wicked Maiden record. Wicked Maiden, mm-hmm. I think that was 2009.
Mm.
And I got to be honest, I don't know what the lyrics about. Rob wrote it. You know, we did the music. We got onto it. We got a vibe. And he just created this story. And, you know, it's funny. Rob writes in double meanings, right? So if you listen very carefully to lyrics, they can have dual meanings, right?
Hmm.
So people, they think they know what it's about, but quite often it's not. And
right,
I love
right.
the way he does that. Pretty crazy.
And Father Forgive Them, how about that one?
Yeah, I remember that was like the opening track to Screaming Symphony. That's a big one when we play live. Fans love that one as well, you know? And it's really just talking lyrically. I mean, you pretty much can get what it's about pretty immediate, right?
Right.
So it's one of those songs, it's a staple live for us, you know? It seems to really resonate around the world. So it's a biggie outside of Rat Race on that record.
Very cool. Well, let's play it. Father Forgive Them. Here we go from the new album, Wake the Beast, the Impellitteri Anthology. Father Forgive Me, Impellitteri.
Bye.
Wow. And that's why Chris wins best rock guitarist. And man, that is signature in Pelletieri, the heavy driving guitar and those shredding leads. My God. Wonderful. Loved it. Oh man. Yeah, so now you said the new album. What's the name of the new album? Do we know what that's going to be yet or no?
You know, there's a working title. It's called Devil in the Details.
Oh.
We haven't made up our mind if that's going to be the final, right? We never know until we get really close to the end when we're actually mixing the record.
Right.
Now we're recording and writing still, so we're still in that process. I mean, anything could go in the next few months.
Well, will it be strictly the heavier stuff, or we're going to get a little bit of on there, maybe, or just strictly straightforward, heavy and Pelletieri?
You know, I got to be honest, right now it's pretty heavy.
Yeah.
But there may be, you know, it's funny, especially because we've been doing a ton of interviews, especially in Europe, you know, for this anthology, and a lot of people have brought that song to our attention, going, man, we would like a little bit more of that in between, because... You know, with our records, occasionally I'll do an instrumental song, right, just to change the tone of the record a little bit, you know? So we do that, and it's the same thing with, like, the ballads. You know, we did another ballad a while back called Forever Yours. You know, it was another one where we really gave this really heavy record we did called Crunch. It just gave it, like, this little breath, right, of fresh air of just, like, all right, I want to chill for a couple minutes because, you know, the first four or five songs, we kill you. It's just too much energy, you know what I mean? So we may do a couple more on.
Cool. Very nice. Very nice. So, Chris, where can people see more about Pelletieri? Do you guys have a website? What's up with that?
Yeah, look, I don't do any of that stuff. I know there's Pelletieri.net. So if you can spell Pelletieri, good luck with everybody. It's like three I's, there's two L's, two T's. I think if you just Google Pelletieri and get close enough, it will do an autocorrect. And then you see the website. So it's Pelletieri.net. That's the official website that has information on the band. And, it has links to all the band's music videos. So if you want to check us out, that's probably a good place.
Now, Wake the Beast, is that strictly CD or no? It's available online, right?
Oh, you could stream it.
You could stream it, right? But you could get the actual CD as well. Where can you get the CD at your website?
As far as I know, no. You can get it on Amazon, at Target.
Yeah, everywhere.
iTunes. I mean, it's all on the big streaming services.
Yeah, everywhere.
I think you can order it as CDs as well through Amazon and Target, et cetera. So who knew we were going to be on Target? That rocks.
Right. And how many songs are actually on this 3-CD set?
I think there are 30 songs.
Yeah, I said about 30 plus, I thought, actually.
Yeah,
30 plus.
It probably is. It might be 31 or something like that. So there's a lot of music for people to digest, so take it in stride.
Absolutely, and I could have picked more songs, but unfortunately, I don't want to keep you much longer. You're driving, and can't thank you enough for your patience. You're too kind. Thank you so much. And I can't thank you enough for coming back as well, Chris. Thank you. It was a pleasure speaking with you. And Wake the Beast, folks, the Pelletieri anthology. Check it out at Pelletieri.org or anywhere online. You get your music or even at Target and Amazon, everywhere. So, Chris, anything else you want to add before we check out?
No, man. It's Joanne, thank you so much. We're always humbled by friends around the world that want to help us promote this music. And, you know, for anybody checking us out, I hope you enjoy it. If you don't like it, again, we still love you. And thanks for for at least checking us out at the very least.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I enjoyed every song we've played, and I've got the whole album now, so I'll get to listen to it myself too. So, but oh my God, thank you so much. And when a new album comes out, come back.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Everybody, Chris Pelletieri, thank you so much, Chris. It was great talking to you. Good luck. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thanks so much.
Take care. Bye-bye, Chris. Thank you. Everybody, Chris Pelletieri from Pelletieri. Excellent, excellent stuff. Wake the Beast, the Pelletieri anthology. New album coming out in 2023. Pay attention, and you'll see it. Hopefully, they'll be back to talk about it, and we'll do it here for you. Thank you, Chris. Have a good one.
All right, you as well.
Take care. Okay, bye-bye. All right, all right, all right, all right. All right, all right, all right. Oh, what was his name? Wolfman Jack? Wolfman Jack. All right, all right, all right. Here we go. So tomorrow, 9 o'clock on October 26th, Mr. Marshall Thompson from the Shy Lights. Boy, are we taking a total 180 there, 360, whatever you want to call it, the full circle there. We're going from heavy metal over to Marshall Thompson from the Shy Lights. And we've got another rapper, I think, coming up in November. I got an email I got to reply to, an Asian rapper. So that should be pretty cool. I don't know his name off the top of my hand. I perused my email today, and I'm hoping to get into email tonight so I can book him. So he's doing a lot of anti-hate stuff and bullying, which I like a lot, anti-bullying. So I like that. So, and I haven't heard his stuff yet, but I'm looking forward to hearing it. So, yeah, but we're going to get him up there. We're going to get a few folks going this week for next month. My buddy should be back tomorrow, the 27th. So everybody who has been on the show will be added to the calendar ASAP. And upcoming on the 30th, Mr. Rick Ryan, lyricist and author. You know him for, oh God, what is the name of the song? It's the, Willie the Kid. How could I forget? Willie the Kid. We've had Rick on a few times, and, but he wrote Willie the Kid, a song about Willie Nelson, which is great. And also he's worked with, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, and he's written for them as well. But he's got a new Christmas book out, a children's Christmas book called Under Santa's Hat. We're going to give away 3 copies on the 30th, and then the 31st, we're going to do a Halloween music monster mashup. So hope you'll stick around for those shows. And, of course, Mr. Marshall Thompson tomorrow at 9 p.m. Eastern from the Shy Lights. He's playing out in Vegas, believe it or not. That man does more than me, and he's in his 80s, so... God bless him. All right. Thank you so much again. Chris Impellitori, guitarist, lead guitarist, and obviously the namesake of the band Impellitori. And like I said, I just picked a bunch of different tunes. And the Victim of the System is definitely really heavy. So I didn't pick it. I wanted to, but I mean, I picked so many. I played 3 the other night. I can't play too many. The poor guy. He's driving home after a long day at the studio, and God forbid he goes off. Those roads in Malibu are a little tight, so God forbid. I didn't want to keep him on the phone. I don't know if he was driving. I know he was in the car, but either way, I didn't want anything to happen, so I'd rather him have a safe trip home. So, but let's close out with let's say we didn't play which one? Oh, I liked the Propaganda Mind. It's got a different intro, and then. Picks up. So let's play that Propaganda Mind. I feel it's very apropos for what's going on these days with all this bullshit nonsense propaganda in the media, whatever. So enjoy this. Check out the album Wake the Beast, the Impellitori anthology. It's out now. It came out September 30th, pardon me. And you can get it anywhere online, Target, Amazon, everywhere. In stores as well for the actual CD, but of course you could always get it streaming anywhere. And Impellitori.net, that's Impellitori. He's right, that's a mouthful, boy. All right, have a great night, folks. We will see you tomorrow with Mr. Marshall Thompson. This is Propaganda Mind by Impellitori off of the new album Wake the Beast, the Impellitori anthology. Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening. You could have been doing anything else, and you're hanging out with me, and that's pretty cool. I thank you so much. Have a good night. Take care. Bye-bye.
CDs.